Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee. And join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend. We've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we've climbed hills and trees, learned of love and ABCs, skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now the spring is in the air, pretty girls are everywhere. Think of me and I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the hills that we climbed were just seasons at a time. Goodbye, Papa, please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. You tried to teach me life wrong. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. Goodbye, Papa, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that the spring is in the air, little children everywhere. When you see them, I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the sun, like the seasons have all gone.
Great song that, Season in the Sun, originally by, was it Terry Jacks? But that's the Westlife version. And I kind of thought about Seasons in the Sun and, you know, as we sit here and the sun comes and goes, the temperature. I think autumn's here, suddenly kind of switched off overnight. So, Irene, switched off overnight to autumn. Are you a duvet or a blanket person? Are you adding duvets or blankets?
Blankets. Duvets take up far too much room in the van.
If you had a choice, duvets or blankets?
If I was in a house, probably a duvet, because I think it's lighter, gives you more warmth for the weight of it. But at the same time, they're much more difficult to clean than a blanket. Well, no, that's not true. I'm just thinking about all my clients' houses and what they have, and probably 100% duvets.
Absolutely. And you know, the funny thing is, I have a winter duvet and a summer duvet, lightweight to heavyweight. And then half the time, you know, we're getting through summer and I'm like, gosh, it's hot. And I've forgotten to change it. And then I finally change it. And now it's like, oh my gosh, I almost have to change it back already. But yeah, I'm a duvet person. Absolutely.
Have you got one of those ones where you actually clip two duvets together for winter and then undo it for summer, or?
No.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of them now, you can clip another duvet to the other one, which gives you your winter weight. But I can't imagine. I mean, a lot of people do still have duvets on their beds in the summer, but I can't imagine using a duvet. I mean, even at the moment, the duvet is pushed right off the bed and I've only got a sheet over me. It is colder in the morning and colder at night. Is it way too early for it to be this cold?
Oh, I don't know, but it just kind of switched one night, kaboom, like that.
I know, I agree, but you know? I sort of still remember being quite comfortable. And like, April's always been my favourite month, and I hate the cold. So to me, April has always been warm enough for it to be my favourite month, not too hot, not too cold. But like, we're into what I call April weather now.
Yes, absolutely. And the reason I kind of thought about it is because one of my ponies the other morning came and he had big snotty nose. And I thought, oh, we had that rain. I think we had rain, and then it changed. The night thing changed, and he came out the next morning. There was big snot dribbling out of his nose, and I thought, oh, okay, change of season. And as they're getting fluffier, so yeah, it just made me think. And then hats, hat or socks?
Sorry?
Hat or socks? Do you need to keep your feet warm? Feet warm. Are you going to have both of them on?
Yeah. If you've got to wear a hat, then you've definitely got to be in socks. And, I mean, keeping your feet warm. I mean, being a diver is super, super important to keep your head warm. Really, really important to keep your head warm. But it's also just as important to keep your feet warm. You know, to me, it's like if you've got a big pair of woolly socks on, when you're cold, you're going to warm up really quickly. But if you shove a little hat on, even if it's just a cap, it's amazing how much heat disappears out of your head.
Yes, incredible, isn't it? And socks in bed?
Yes. When it's cold, particularly when I'm in my van, I have these two pairs of socks. They're great big, like bright pink fluffy ones. You know, they're really big, thick. And yes, they are on in the camper van, because I get up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, and because I don't have air conditioning or anything in my van, and I don't like to keep the heater running all night. Not that I've got a heater anymore at the moment, unless I'm plugged in. But yeah, you got to have those socks on, because the minute your feet touch cold floor, you lose your body heat, like it drains out of you, like you've got an electric shock.
I remember as kids, actually, Dad would never let us wear socks to bed, and we'd try and sleep in with our socks to bed, and they'd come along and we'd sleep in, and those socks would be gone. But
Why? What was his reason?
I have no idea what the reason was, and I mean, I can't ask him because he passed away, but we weren't allowed to wear our socks to bed. Isn't that interesting? And now, obviously, yep, socks to bed, and then I'm obviously halfway through the night they're throwing out, you know, as soon as you're all kind of warmed up. But interesting. So, yeah.
I'm sort of fascinated with you saying that one of your ponies had a snotty nose. Do they get colds and flus like people do?
They get colds, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah,
they get a cold, like a runny, like influenza, like, really?
Yeah.
Just like people.
Absolutely. And then I thought, shall I wipe it, as it was dribbling out in big blobs? And I was like,
Anyway,
he rubbed his nose against the ground, thank goodness, in the grass, and wiped it away himself. Bless. But no, usually I'll have a towel up there in winter in this change of season just to, wipe their snotty noses. So they get, a little bit. I think it's a time, though, too, because, you know, they haven't quite grown their winter coat yet, because it's still way too hot to have that winter coat, but you just get that change in temperature. So, yeah, I've noticed the little minis get a little snotty nose just like we do.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could tell us what they're thinking about the change in our climate and our weather and that, you know? Mm. Wouldn't it be lovely if they could say, well, hang on a minute, you haven't given us time to change into our winter coat yet. It just suddenly happened. Just slow down and let it happen, you know?
I actually always find that in autumn. There's suddenly just a switch and it's overnight. The night time, I mean. Sometimes the days are still, you know, they're still nice and warm, but I seem to, I don't know, I just always find that it's just one night it's like really, really hot, and then suddenly we've switched, and that's it, we've switched. It is now all downhill to winter. Well, I mean, we're going to have lovely autumn weather, but it is temperature-wise, yeah.
Yeah. I've never actually found that in New Zealand, although I'll certainly agree with you this, you know, for this season, just now. I found it definitely in Spain. You knew exactly what day you were going to change, and it just switched overnight, and you were into your winter period. Your shorts were off and your long trousers were on straight away. Yeah. But looks like New Zealand's going to go the same way now. So,
Hey, another thing, jumper or sweatshirt?
Oh, well, they're both two totally different things for different purposes. Sweatshirt for casual, working out, going to the beach, you know, it's like track pants and sweatshirt. You know, you can wear jeans and have a dressier sweatshirt and dress it up a little bit, but sweater if you're going out somewhere nice, definitely. I hate seeing people in track pants and hoodies when they're supposed to be going to a restaurant or somewhere nice.
So, So you have to have a knitted jumper on then, do you?
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Oh.
Definitely.
I struggle. I don't really own a knitted jumper because, well, I do, but I just never wear it because I can't, I can't be bothered washing them. They stretch. I know they're absolutely lovely. If someone could take them away and wash them for me and bring them all back together, that's great. But, oh, having to fluff around hand washing and, you know, so that they don't stretch. Yeah, can't be bothered.
I bought a, when I was in Peru, I bought from one of those ladies, you know, road style store ladies, a Angora jumper. Beautiful, beautiful Angora jumper. I mean, Angora, you know, it's not the llama. What's the other one?
Alpaca.
Not Angora.
Alpaca.
Not Angora. What do you call it?
Alpaca.
Alpaca. An alpaca jumper, right? And she only wanted $25 for it, but I gave her $75 for it because the amount of work they put into those jumpers is, you know, and it was still a quarter of the price what I'd buy something like that in New Zealand. Now, that was, how many years ago was I in Peru? 8 years ago? That is still my favourite jumper. I wash it like a rag. It's just amazing. I don't have to worry about, you know, making sure that the water's, well, I do make sure that the water's not too hot. I think it would probably shrink. But I don't fuss about it. It goes in the wash with my other clothes, and it's still absolutely gorgeous. I still get comments with people saying what an amazing jumper it is. It has stretched a tiny wee bit, but it's a little bit longer than it used to be, but not in a way that it looks scruffy. And that is my go-to jumper every winter for 9 years. So you're not buying the right stuff, girl.
Maybe they knit differently over there than they do here. But, I mean, I do like a woolen jumper, but, yeah, it's just such a pain in the bum to – so much easier just to chuck in on a sweatshirt. But there you go, etiquette there from Irene. No sweatshirts out for dinner. Has to be a jumper, knitted jumper. Yeah.
Well, or a coat, you know, a blouse and a coat is nice. A nice, you know. See, the thing is, we're getting so much in the wintertime, like a lot of the cold countries overseas, where the indoors are so heated, so you can't really wear a jumper because you're stripping. You go into and they've got summer inside the restaurant or inside the mall or inside. So you've got to have a coat and just take the coat off and have light clothes underneath, or you're too hot. So jumpers don't work terribly well unless you're going to be outside in the cold.
Do you knit?
Yes, I do. Well, I used to. I haven't knitted for ages. Ever since you could buy things cheaper than what you could knit them, I haven't knitted. But I used to make all my kids' clothes, whether it be underpants, singlets, jumpers, coats, whatever it was. I sewed, knitted, crocheted, did the lot, the whole lot. Could I still knit? Yes, I think I could. I did so much in those days that I think I'd pick it up really quickly if I wanted to go back to it.
Yeah, it's
try to teach my kids to knit.
Seems to be kind of a dying art, doesn't it? I mean, I'm sure people do knit, but yeah, isn't that interesting because of a difference in price? And if you want to knit something, you obviously want to knit a nice thing, you know. But yeah, you think probably way back then it was probably cheaper to make, you know, and we've switched.
Oh, it was. It was. I could knit a jumper for a quarter of the price that I could buy it for my children. But now, well, I don't know that now, but when I stopped knitting, I was looking at it and it was actually costing me about the same price as what I could buy it. And I was going, well, hang on a minute. You know, this is all this time that I'm frantically knitting my kids' clothes and I could be doing something else. So I consciously made a choice that, you know, I was just going to buy them, not knit them. Were they as good as my knitting? Probably not. But when they got to the stage where they were half the price of my knitting, it was sort of like, you know, I mean, they didn't look as great. And now I go into, and that was hand knitting too. That wasn't machine knitting. And now I go in and I see, you know, how we have all these markets and fairs and you see a lot of knitting in them where you can buy baby's clothes and that. And they're all done by machine. I very seldom see anything that is hand knitted. They call it hand knitting because today machine knitting is classified as hand knitting. But you can tell the difference between hand knitting and machine knitting very easily. And well, I can anyway, and they're all done by machine.
Actually, interestingly, there's a group of ladies that are up in the Orewa area, and they come together, I think, once every couple of weeks, and they knit for some of the charities. And they're actually all there hand knitting, and there's one cafe that supports them and gives them all a coffee. And there's a whole gaggle of ladies and balls of wool and everything else. And
fabulous, with the knitting needles in the wall.
Knitting needles.
Oh,
clickety-clackety-clickety-clack. Yeah, absolutely. And it is interesting. It's probably that time of the year because, you know, I remember, like, I was talking to one of the ladies, and, of course, in summer it gets too hot to knit. And I thought, yeah, so you're sweaty, you know, I was sitting there with wool and air. But, yeah, they'll be right into it again, knitting away.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that sort of thing happening now, because otherwise it's another one of those dying arts like wood churning. I mean, those men that used to do those beautiful table legs and everything, and there's just hardly anybody exists that can do that anymore. And I saw a program on TV the other day, and I saw a vase being made on TV the other day as well. And it was so awesome to see these old boys have got these schools going, trying to get some of these schools back again. And I think they're necessary, I really do, because, you know, they might very well come an age where they don't have power, so they've got to be able to do it by hand. You know?
Absolutely, and I think maybe that's why I like that TV program. I don't know whether you, our listeners out there, whether you've seen it as well or whether you think it's great, is that Repair Shop.
And it's awesome.
Dying art of, you know, some of the things that, you know, being passed on from father to son to mother to daughter type thing. But, yeah, to restore those things, but have the knowledge to restore, you know.
Isn't it interesting, though, when they're doing, I mean, they're doing all sorts of things from leather to wood to plastic to glass to, well, maybe not so much plastic, and material. And they know so much about just simple things like glues and that, you know, and the guy will say, well, no, there's no way that glue can be used on leather. That's really good for material, but not leather because of this, this and this. And so we have to find a glue that, or we might have to make our own, you know. And I mean, I just think they're amazing. Isn't that incredible that they know? To me, super glue. that's not actually true. There's two glues now that I've got my camper van, because super glue is not the best, really, for a lot of things. And so now I've got this other wood bonding glue.
The problem with super glue is you can only use it once and then the nozzle's stuffed and you can't squeeze any more out anymore.
And no matter how hard you try, you will always get it on your hands, so you always have to use gloves. And how many times do I try and cut corners and not do that? Oh, I can manage this without getting it. It's only a little job. I'll do it. Oh, goodness me. But I just buy those tiny little ones now because of that, because there's no sense in buying a big super glue thing unless you've got a huge amount of gluing to do straight away. Yeah.
Yep.
So I just get the little wee ones, and they do bond so quickly.
Yoo-hoo glue. Yoo-hoo glue's been around for years and years and years and years, and it does like wood and everything else. And it's funny, it's still the go-to for wood, that Yoo-hoo.
Oh, really, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, interesting, that white. It's white. God, we used to use it for everything way back in the day, and it's still there. Actually reminded me of that repair shop I was just watching one of the episodes the other night, and they had that little round Hoover vacuum cleaner on it. And you know, it's funny because I remember my parents having one of those, and the girl that brought it in, and the whole reason she wanted it is she remembers as a child because it kind of hovered. I don't know whether anybody can picture them, but they were a little round thing and they didn't have wheels. They were on, I don't know, like this, but they almost hovered. They kind of glided, you know, across the carpet, but you'd ride them because they kind of glided so much. And so she used to, as kids, they used to sit on them and ride them around, you know, and she said that she wanted her daughter to be able to experience, or her grandchildren to experience that same thing. Because you could easily sit on it because it was quite round. It was quite a little plump thing. But, yeah, I thought, oh, how
cute. It must have been sort of on a type of ski on the bottom or something, yeah.
Yeah, type thing, yeah.
Just amazing. Isn't that amazing? I remember many, many years ago when I sailed my boat into Thailand, and I had a small path and a pump brake, a water pump brake, and It was one of those things that it was just a tiny little metal piece, just this little sort of oblong metal piece that had broken and had to be replaced. And so simple, but you couldn't buy this metal piece as a part. So I went into this little engineer shop in Thailand, and this guy just looked at me, oh, yeah, no problem, you know, bring the pump in and I'll... And I watched him, and he's using the most antiquated old tools to do the fanciest little piece of, like, this metal piece had to be exactly the right size for the pump to work. And he's doing it without any of the gadgets and equipment that we have today, and filing this thing down and sanding it up so it's smooth. And I just watched this guy stood there for ages, fascinated, going, he's never going to lose this art. He could make anything, this guy. Anything you took into him, he could make. He was a little Thai man. He'd never been to school. Couldn't speak English, could understand everything. It's amazing, some of these people.
That reminds me, when you stood there and said, watched him. I was at a presentation the other week, and this mechanic was talking about his business. And at the end, he put up a slide up on the screen, and it shown it had pricing, and it had my standard price, $125 per hour. If you watch me, $150 per hour. If you tell me what I'm meant to be doing. So it was just a little jokey side thing. So, and if you tell me what I was doing, then it went up another $100 an hour. If you've done it yourself and I have to fix it, it was like $300. And I thought, well, how cute is that? You know, the times that we've stood and watched somebody and not even thought about standing there and watching it and what that person might be feeling like as you're sitting there watching them. But, oh, what a heap of fun. But, yeah, isn't it interesting? I suppose we've just come in this world, and I think we've probably talked about this before. We're in a throwaway world now, so those dying arts of, you know, things getting fixed. Yeah.
I think I have a strong suspicion that it's not going to be long before that turns around. I think things are going to start getting repaired. I think this product's being made purposely to be throwaway in 10 years' time so that you're forced to buy another product. I think at long last, this consumer age, people are starting to realise that, you know, this is not right, this is not the way it should be. It pollutes the land for a start, and all it is making money for the businesses. It's, you know, they took a pride in making a product that was going to last forever, 20, 30 years ago. Well, no, let's go back. Let's say 40, 50 years ago. They took a pride in making a product that was going to last forever. And then some capitalist bright spark came along and said, well, hang on a minute. If you make it only last half that time, you're going to have double your sales. And so it went on and on and on and on. And I think it's gone past the point of credibility anymore, and I think people will start turning it around. I hope they do. If they don't, they're stupid, because it really has gone past the point of credibility.
Absolutely. And I'm kind of thinking of that as you're talking, that on-stove coffee pot that you put on your stove. You've always been able to get the parts for that to get to reseal and all of that. Yeah. And this is for years and years, and they've gone. And I think it shows the values, doesn't it? We stand by our product, but actually we want you to be able to keep that product, so we will supply anything that is going to genuinely wear out. Well, let's watch this world, all right? So we've heard Irene say it. I'm going to agree with Irene and say, bring it back, bring back that quality, and bring back that way that we can repair it so we're not throwing away. Hey, guys, this is all we've got time for this week. Hopefully we'll see you the same time, same place next week. But if you've got some of those tales of what you're doing for the winter changeover, or you're griping about those particular things you have to throw away, check out on our Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you the same place, same time next week. Yeah.
Brought to you by Delacroix Communication, delacroix.co.nz.